الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا يأتل أولو الفضل منكم والسعة أن يؤتوا أولي القربى والمساكين والمهاجرين في سبيل الله وليعفوا وليصفحوا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من كظم غيظا وهو قادر على إنفاذه ملأ الله قلبه أمنا وإيمانا أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Most respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders. Many times there are some very simple things that make a very big difference to the day-to-day things in life. Some simple things that are done enhance that happiness, the bond, the good feeling and atmosphere in a home, in anywhere for that matter. And there are some simple things that are neglected that cause the total opposite. But now sometimes these very simple things, simple in the sense, there's nothing complicated in trying to understand it. And understanding it is very, very easy. 2 + 2 = 4. Even the child in grade 0 also can understand that. But now you get into something that is now on a level of some trigonometry and whatever. So now even sometimes that fellow who's in that class also can't understand it. So it's complicated. So now sometimes the simple things is 2 + 2 = 4. As a concept, very easy to understand. So likewise, some of these things very easy to understand. But the issue comes in bringing it into our lives, in practicing on it. So now among the things that are very easy in terms of understanding it, but take a lot of effort sometimes in practicing it. To understand this in the light of one incident and in the light of the ayat of the Quran Sharif that was recited. This ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ. Those whom Allah Ta'ala has blessed with virtue, they are people of great honor and virtue, and they have been given abundance also. According to the Mufassireen, this ayat was revealed initially on the incident of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But the Quran Sharif is not confined to the occasion when it was revealed. The lesson is for every single person till Qiyamah. But he was the person on whose issue or incident this ayat was revealed. Now that is the incident to understand. And in the light of that, to understand the message and the lesson. So the incident that took place was in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As mentioned, this ayat was revealed about Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So his daughter was Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Ummul Mu'mineen, the noble and chaste wife of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now the lengthy incident, but the crux of it, that the munafiqeen, and in every era, the munafiqeen have no other job but to cause harm to Islam and the Muslims. That is their purpose in life almost. That is what they thrive on. And in every era this has been the same. And in this time and age also it's the same. For some paltry gain of dunya, they'll sell their brothers off for the disbelievers to even bomb them and kill them. And what not will happen? The munafiqeen have always been the most detrimental in any era. And therefore in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala warns about the punishment for the munafiqeen. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. They'll be in the lowest point of Jahannam where the punishment is most severe. So in any case, that's another subject and topic. The point is that what we were talking about, that the munafiqeen slandered Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the chaste and noble wife of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there cannot be an attack worse than the attack on somebody's honor. Attack on somebody's wealth, that is one level. And then on somebody's life is far worse. But worse than the attack on life is on somebody's honor. And therefore sometimes people, to defend their honor, give their life. So now this was an attack on not just anybody's honor. This was an attack on the honor of Ummul Mu'mineen, Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha. And the pain that the person who's attacked, whose honor is attacked, what she will go through, perhaps even more than that, her parents will go through. So in any case, the incident is lengthy. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha came to know about this rumor that was now being circulated, and this fabrication, the slander. She came to know about it right at the tail end. It was carrying on for more than a month. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was deeply hurt about this. And what can we understand about the hurt of the parents, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an? So in any case, eventually, when she heard about it, she became so sick. The whole night she spent crying, the whole day, couldn't sleep one moment, couldn't eat anything. Eventually, the ayat of the Qur'an Sharif were revealed, an entire ruku of the Qur'an Sharif, about her purity, her chastity, and this was all about, this was the mischief of the munafiqeen. Now we cannot imagine what pain Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu experienced in all this time. It's beyond what we can comprehend. Now some people who got caught up in the slandering, or rather circulating the slander, they heard it from somewhere, I just passed it on, without any concern that is this even verified. Number one, if it's verified, but it doesn't concern me to get involved in it, why should I even get involved in circulating something like that? That is if it's verified. If it is genuine, it's true. But we have all become, they say, once upon a time, people somewhere trigger happy. Anything, they're ready to pull the trigger. Now people are button happy. Anything and everything, they have to just keep pressing forward. Because I also did something. But sometimes what I did, I caused disaster. Caused so much of harm by forwarding things that are of no business to me, no concern to me. And worse than that, if it is untrue, it's true, then true, it become circulating ghibat. And if it's untrue, then that's worse. In any case, some people who got caught up in circulating this rumor were some sincere Muslims, but got caught up. Among them was the cousin of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala an, Mistah. And he was a poor person. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to assist him financially. And being a relative, he was a cousin, so he used to try and take care of him. Now he got caught up in this. When he got caught up in it, and he also circulated this message around. Now when the entire matter got cleared, and everything was now as broad as daylight, that this was all the mischief of the munafiqeen, and the maqam and the position of Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was highlighted in the Qur'an Sharif. And she herself later would say that it was beyond my imagination that Allah ta'ala will reveal anything in the Qur'an Sharif regarding me. I did feel that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be shown some dream, or in some other way he would be informed about my complete innocence in this matter, but I couldn't imagine that Allah will reveal ayat of the Qur'an Sharif. But that was her great good fortune, that this was Allah ta'ala revealed ayat regarding her in the Qur'an Sharif. So now when all this was cleared, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu took an oath. He was upset, obviously. And as mentioned, that the worst attack is on the attack on the honor of a person. Here was the honor of his daughter, and not just any daughter. The daughters of the entire world can't compare to Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. So he took a qasam. And the qasam was, I will never ever help Mistah again. Now who was Mistah? He was the person that got involved in this circulating of this slander unwittingly. Now, anybody would understand the circumstances. Anybody would regard him as that what he's done, it's understandable. And you can't blame him in any way for this. But Allah Ta'ala revealed an ayat about him also, addressing him and teaching a lesson via him to the entire ummah. That look, this is a very, very severe situation, understood. Everything in his place. But Allah Ta'ala is saying that those who Allah has blessed with this abundance, with this virtue, they should never ever take such a qasam. أَيُّؤْتُوا لِلْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. That they will not spend on the masakeen, on the poor, and those who have migrated in the path of Allah Ta'ala, and those who are the relatives of a person. Now, all these three things applied to Misda. He was a cousin, he was a muhajir, he was a poor person. But now the message is not confined to that. The lesson is for all times and all places. Now in this very difficult situation, what does Allah Ta'ala say thereafter? Yes, all this understood. The pain understood. The amount of distress that a person went through understood. Everything. Allah knows better than anybody. But Allah Ta'ala says, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَسْفَحُوا. All this understood. But forgive and overlook. And Allah says, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Do you not love that Allah should forgive you? Now this message and lesson, this is the point. Oh, what a great lesson in such a great manner is being taught to us in a way that can't be imagined. The circumstances of that incident and Abu Bakr al-Anhu taking this qasam in that situation and the Quran still being revealed addressing him that don't do this. That was a lesson for weak ones like us. We can't be expected to act on that level, but in our day-to-day level, within the four walls of our home, within the small circles that we have, in trivial day-to-day matters, we don't have the heart to just overlook something, to just bear some sabr, to just restrain that anger. That's the lesson for us. This is a lesson on a very high level. We'll say, no, this is too far for me. But that's what's teaching us. What's on our level, we can't even do that. But the lesson is of restraining anger, of making sabr, forgiving, overlooking. Now there's huge problems that keep coming up in homes, in families, in businesses, in where not. And many a time, it stems simply out of the lack of control of anger. In that anger, a person starts blurting things which he himself then regrets later. Starts doing things that now he's also wondering what I did. And so many problems ensue. But just simply out of this, as we mentioned right at the beginning, the concept very easy to understand. Restrain anger. What's difficult to understand that? That anger is welling in a person, restrain it. Hold it back. Very simple to understand. But now when it comes to action, then a person remembers after the action that I should have restrained my anger. Because there's a process to learn it. There's a manner to get to understand it. And to gain that ability to practice on it. And the most important part of that is that a person has to build up the consciousness that I'm also the servant of Allah Ta'ala. I also have to stand in front of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And I also have a lot of baggage. So therefore in this ayat Allah Ta'ala says, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَسْفَحُوا. Forgive and overlook. Now can we imagine how many times in a day, small things, minor things, trivial things, and we're just venting, we're just saying things, we're just offloading. And sometimes it might be, maybe it becomes so standard that it doesn't even require a person to be screaming, to venting his anger. It's just blurting out hurtful things, humiliating things, just running people down. Just for every small trivial thing, making a negative comment, expressing irritation, no breaks whatsoever, no ability to just restrain. Whereas this is such a great matter, that in the Hadith Sharif, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, that the one who will restrain his anger in a situation where he can give vent to it, he is able to vent it. It's not that he is unable to vent it, but he still restrains it. Allah will fill his heart. Mala Allahu qalbahu amnan wa imana. Allah will fill his heart with peace and with iman. Now we don't understand either, or we don't know about these virtues, that this is such a great virtue, but we lose out on this repeatedly in a day. How many opportunities there are to just restrain that anger where we could have vented it and gain this great virtue. Allah Ta'ala will fill the heart with peace and iman. The nafs of a person, this insan, his nafs, it's almost like a part of its nature that this nafs wants to take revenge. Let alone where there's nothing, that's another matter, that if a person did nothing to us and we still want to now vent our anger. Especially if now somebody did something, then this nafs is sort of almost its nature also take revenge. Very much inclined to revenge. In some way or the other, that revenge might just be even saying something. That I evened it up. Somebody said something, I can't leave it at that. Because if I leave it without saying anything, it will be a sign of weakness. Whereas it's not a sign of weakness. That's a sign of humility. That's a sign of tawazu. And it's fine now. If somebody said something, if I don't have the last say, so what? And this is what Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has highlighted in another hadith sharif, that ma naqasat sadaqatun min malin. Sadaqa never decreases wealth. And ma zadallahu abdan bi afwin illa izza. When a person forgives, Allah increases his honor and respect. It's not a sign of weakness. It's a means of gaining greater izzat. And then the third aspect that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَمَا تَوَاضَعَ أَحَدٌ لِلَّهِ. That a person who humbles himself for Allah Ta'ala. That now if I keep the peace now, I just keep quiet, I just let it pass. If I don't make this hurtful comment, if I don't run somebody down now, then it will keep the peace. But if it keeps the peace, Allah will be pleased. So I'm going to do it for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, not for any other reason. Not because I want some favor in return later. Allah must become pleased with me. I want to earn Allah's pleasure. So the person who humbles himself for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, man tawada'a lillah, Allah will elevate him. Rafa'ahu Allah. Now these are very simple concepts, as mentioned right at the beginning, very simple to understand it. Nothing difficult. And nobody is unable to restrain his anger. Every person has that ability. And we have done it. But we have done it for other motives. We've done it because maybe there's some financial gain in keeping quiet. That now that customer is behaving very, very arrogantly, but he's a very big customer. And there's a lot of profit to gain out of dealing with this person in a kind manner, just being good to him. So now despite everything bubbling and boiling within, but the money is keeping it down. And that financial gain has become the control over it. It's helping to keep it in place. Because if I blurt something out now, the fellow will walk away. He walks away, I lost out on a big customer, he may never come back. Sometimes it's some other issue. That now this person, he is observing how I'm conducting myself. But now I have some other dealings with him. I'll jeopardize that just now. Maybe it is somebody wants to go and now propose somewhere, and suddenly realize that that person is standing on the side, who he wants to make him his father-in-law in future. Now suddenly that anger all came in place. In other words, for all kinds of other motives and purposes, we have managed and we can manage to restrain that anger. We've done it. We've done it many times. But purely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, where there is nothing else around, no other worldly motive, no other worldly motive, meaning there's no dunya gain that we are asking for, wanting out of it, my Allah must become pleased. Now, because of this missing in our life, that to do something purely for Allah's pleasure, no other purpose, Allah must become pleased. that is lacking, as a result of which, then there's a fire in the home, there's disaster sometimes, what not happens in other family circles, in so many issues. This is a very fundamental lesson that we forgot. So now we have to acquaint ourselves, number one, with the virtues. What are the virtues of restraining that anger? Reflect upon it. One is to know it, but to know it and then it's now forgotten, to keep reminding ourselves, reflect. Subhanallah, such a great thing. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala, in the ayat of the Quran Sharif highlights that sari'u ila maghfiratin min rabbikum wa jannatin arduha as-samawati wal ard u'iddat lil muttaqin. Hasten towards the jannat and hasten towards the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. Who doesn't want that? Every person needs it. And this is prepared for who? For the muttaqeen. Now who are the muttaqeen? Allah Ta'ala gives their qualities. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْزِ. They spend in ease and adversity. And Allah highlights, وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْزِ. They restrain their anger. This qazm, the meaning of qazm, qazmin al-ghayz, qazm, to understand it just for our understanding, like a pressure cooker, that pressure cooker, the amount of pressure that builds up in it, but because that lid has been designed in such a way that it contains it. If it wasn't designed in that way, it'll fly off. But it's designed in that way to lock it in. And because of now how it's designed and whatever it does, so now it helps the cooking process in no time. So now this is the message, kawim, that now in the original use of the word, that the leather water bag, it's filled to the brim, but then the person, it's a leather bag, so now it's not tied properly, it'll just anyway, it'll flop, and everything will spill. So he ties the top very tightly. So now this is almost overflowing, but because it's tied so tightly at the top, this is termed as kahum. Now that is the message and lesson. So Allah Ta'ala didn't say that they don't ever feel any emotion of anger. That's insan. Insan has this emotion in him. But they don't just let it overflow everywhere. But this is a fundamental lesson which we need to remind ourselves about daily. Daily reminder. We should remind ourselves about these ahadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the ayat of the Quran Sharif. Because there's a daily disaster happening because of not remembering this. Every now and again, such major problems come up. And the underlying issue was somebody didn't know how to just keep his anger at bay. That's all. If that person just kept quiet for that few minutes, he would have calmed down, nothing would have happened. That matter was still a matter needed addressing, it needed to be resolved, it needed to be sorted out, and that must be done in a suitable manner. The problem has to be addressed. But the problem that could have been resolved, that marriage that could have been saved, that relationship that could have been saved as well, whatever, but everything just split apart because of that one moment of uncontrolled anger from somebody. And that escalated everything to a point where now it went beyond the point of being saved. If that just stayed out of the equation, it was possible to sort everything out. This is a lesson to learn. And this is a lesson to remind ourselves. And this is a lesson to keep reminding daily. Because it's a daily need. And such a simple thing to understand. But when it comes to practice, then that's a different matter. So the one aspect we mentioned earlier is that the very crucial parts of that ability to restrain that anger, one is, we mentioned the virtues, to understand the virtues, remind ourselves about it, reflect upon it. The other aspect, keep reminding ourselves, we're also Allah Ta'ala's servants. We also have to stand on the day of Qiyamah. We also got a lot of baggage. And Allah Ta'ala says, if you want to, when Allah should forgive you, then you forgive also. You overlook as well. Then you can hope for Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. So to remind ourselves of these realities, and to bring the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala in our hearts, that consciousness is what helps a person to do the right thing, at the right time. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.